All right, injuries. Clay Harbor has a low back contusion. Again, he should be okay as we go forward here. Stanley Avili has a hamstring strain. Again, by the time we get to Sunday, he should be, this following Sunday here, he should be fine. Brandon Hughes has a lung contusion. He was hospitalized overnight and was released this morning. He's doing okay. Evan Mathis has ankle inflammation, and he's doing a little bit better today. And then LaShawn McCoy has not been cleared by the independent neurologist. You'll probably see him somewhere after our Monday 10-10-10 practice, and most likely be on Tuesday. Brent Selleck has passed everything with his concussion. Coleman should be ready to go. Michael's ready to go. Chris Polk should be ready to go. And then everybody from last night. Again, they'll be ready to go as we go here. Listen, for 3+ quarters there, for 3 quarters, I thought we played good football until we hit that 5-minute, 58-second mark in that third quarter, and then we went turnover, and with the interception for a touchdown, the fumble for a touchdown, and then another fumble, they were able to get a field goal from that, and then the muffed kickoff, they end up scoring a touchdown on that. So, you know, 4 out of 5 plays, they put points on the board. So we went from 13-10 score to 34-13 in just a matter of minutes. And, you know, it's a shame. I mean, that's turnovers destroy you in this league. There's one thing that you if we didn't know it before this season, we surely know it now, that sitting there at minus 22 in the giveaway takeaway area is it's tough to win football games. And you know, I know you guys have done your homework on this, but when you have 123 points scored on 34 turnovers and you're only getting 33 points on your 12 turnovers, that's a or excuse me, on your 12 takeaways, that's a bad bad stat. So what do? You continue to work at keeping the ball high and tight. You keep emphasizing it for all positions. It's important that you don't let anything slide during practice. Keep trying to get yourself better as a football team, which we'll do. This has not been an effort thing. I mean, you saw our guys playing their hearts out all the way to the end of the game. But it's you've got to take care of this business here. And the young guys have to grow up quickly, and the old guys that had the turnovers, they've got to make sure that they detail their work. Don't try to do too much. Make sure that you take care of business when you have the football in your hand. And then when we're in the red zone, again, we've got to make sure we put our guys in the right position to make plays. And when you're in those positions, that you make them. So. And this is my responsibility, completely my responsibility. It's my football team, and my coaches and my players. We've all got to do a better job here. And we've got 2 games remaining. We're gonna battle our tail off against 2 good NFC East opponents, and make sure that we take care of business on the practice field.
Serious of Brandon's injury, and how does that happen? How did it happen?
Well, he got sandwiched out there, and he left here, and it was hard to tell what his symptoms were. You know, it was tough, so we made sure we kept him here for a little bit longer period of time, made sure we evaluate him, and then sent him home, and he coughed up blood, and so they were able to get him to the hospital, sent a train over, got him to the hospital, and they kept him overnight for, you know, observation, and everything checked out okay. So,
what's the plan with Mike? Do you expect that he'll be active for the last two games and be the number two quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I haven't got that far yet, but he'll be able to. Actually, I've got to look at the numbers and how that goes. So, we'll see.
See if Chris Polk is healthy, you know, what he can do in these last two games.
He had been doing some good things on special teams, and the limited amount that he had to play at running back, we felt comfortable putting him in. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes here. Again, I haven't sat down and put together the game day roster for Washington yet. So just getting through this one and seeing how these guys healed up and where we're at with them, and then we'll go from there.
First time that LeSean went to see an independent neurologist, and if so, why? Between from him heading.
Yeah, he hasn't been to the independent neurologist yet. That's a last step, so he'll go to that when we feel like all his symptoms are gone, and then that's when he'll hit there.
LeSean has not seen. I thought you said that in your opening.
No. Let me tell you again. LeSean has not been cleared by the independent neurologist. He has not gone to the independent neurologist. No, he hasn't seen the independent neurologist. He'll end up doing that most likely on Tuesday. We'd like to get him through the Monday workout before we do that.
And has Colt earned himself the last couple starts, whatever's up with Kirk?
Yeah, I think you could say that. Now, listen, I haven't sat down and talked with Todd about that, but I would tell you that he's played good football and good enough to be considered keeping him in that position.
On the block punt, can you clarify what happened there?
On the block punt, McNutt ended up getting beat. McNutt was supposed to be in the game. That was his spot. He was replacing Jason Avant on that one. And, the problem with Rao was supposed to be on the other side where Clay went in and didn't get there. But
could you have taken a timeout in that situation?
Well, the problem didn't happen. No, because Clay was okay. Clay knew what he was doing. It wasn't Clay that the problem was on. It was on McNutt, so he was in the right spot.
What was Rao doing with? Was it just a lapse of?
He got caught up with the defense and was over there with them when he's got to be over with Bobby, and rookie mistake.
You've mentioned some rookie mistakes. In that play alone, you had two, Rao and McNutt, different reasons, but made mistakes. Are there too many young guys in positions that they shouldn't be on special teams, and that's why we've seen breakdowns over the course of this season?
No, I don't think so, no. That's where you're going to play some of your young guys, and then they've got to step up and do their thing and make sure they play the right techniques in that. Are there going to, you know, I mentioned this at the beginning of the year, are there going to be mistakes with your rookies? Yeah, there are going to be some mistakes, but as you go on, you've got to limit those. The one thing we've had is we've had an influx of rookies as we've gone on here throughout the season just due to the injuries, so we're late in the season. We've got guys doing some things that they are kind of learning on the job here. But it's a good experience for them. I mean, if there's a positive, it's a good experience for them so they can do better when they have a chance to be a full-time guy.
You had a lot of young guys on the roster though to start the season. Would you have liked more veterans on the team in those types of spots? It seems like you've always had those type of guys in the special teams situations, and I'm trying to wonder if the makeup of the roster is the way you wanted it to be.
Yeah, listen, it was the way I wanted it to be. Yeah.
When you see how your defense has played in the last 2 weeks, you know, the pass rush come alive, your secondary looks more communicative, and there aren't these problems. I mean, you look back and feel that if you had made some of those major changes a lot earlier, that you guys have more of a fighting chance to be competing right now.
Well, listen, there's two parts of that. I'll tell you that I think the defense played well yesterday for the most part. Are there some plays that we like to have back? Yeah, there are. But I didn't think that that was a problem. And I did what I, on the other side of that, I did what I thought I had to do at that time. And so, you know, that's how I felt. The rest of it's hindsight. I mean, you can't go back on it, right?
I mean, does it validate that? A lot of people felt 3 or 4 weeks ago that you didn't have good defensive players. You had old guys who couldn't play anymore, and now it looks a lot different.
It does look different. Yeah. I mean, Tommy's done a nice job in there, and Todd's doing a nice job.
Do you think that Brandon Graham can consistently rush the passer this well?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you're talking about one of the stronger guys on the football team and an explosive. He's got speed, and he's got a good attitude. So it's just a matter of getting him in there and give him an opportunity. So
how would you evaluate Dwight Nix? Obviously, he was facing a pretty good pass rusher.
I couldn't hear what you were saying. Say that one more time.
How would you evaluate Dwight Nix?
Yeah, listen, I thought Nick did some good things. I think there's some things. The interception. Nick has got one of the stronger arms that we've had here, and one of the stronger arms in the team, or excuse me, in the league. But you got to make sure that your feet are right, that your drop is right, and you've got to learn those things. And that's one of the tougher things for the young quarterbacks to do. And on that particular play, instead of taking what would be a normal 5-step drop, he took what would be a normal 7-step drop, and you just, when you're in the gun, it would be 5 as opposed to 3, and he held too long on the safety, trying to look the safety off, and these are rookie mistakes, so he'll learn from that. He's very diligent about those things, and he'll get it right. But it wasn't a lack of arm strength that caused that to take place.
Andy, how difficult has this season been for you? The personal tragedy, and that has to be draining. Can you shed any light on that? How difficult that's been? Like,
well, listen, that's not the reason the season's gone the way the season's gone. So, you handle your personal things separate, and nobody wants to lose a son. I mean, I think that's obvious, but that's not. That has nothing to do with how this season's gone.
On the field goal, what happened on that play? The disconcerting signal.
The penalty on the field.
On the field goal.
Yeah. Well, they the official said that one of our guys said set, and so they, they called that. Problem was we jumped, so I was trying to put that together. How we said set, but we jumped. I wasn't sure how that worked.
The red zone you talked about a little bit earlier. It just seemed like you had first and goal 2, first and goal 3, and none of the plays kind of came together after that. Was the short week a problem there, or what did you see?
Listen, I don't think it was a short week. We've got to do a better job with what we dial up right there. We had no timeouts at that time, so we're trying to make sure that, and if you don't get the touchdown, then you want to make sure you have enough time for the hurry-up field goal and that whole deal as you go. So we felt it was best to throw the ball there, and these are plays that we've had in for, for most of the season, so it's not, we weren't dialing up a bunch of new stuff. They did a good job of covering them, and we could have done a little bit better job of executing them, probably a better job of dialing up the right ones at the right time.
But DRC's up and down season. I mean, the last two games he's been as good as any cornerback in the league. We see these unbelievable physical skills out there, but then it seems like there's these lulls where he's just kind of not. Is that a fair assessment of him? And did it take you kind of talking to him to get something going? And did you feel like maybe you should have done something a little earlier with him?
Well, listen, you're talking about a very good athlete, smart kid, and he has had some ups and downs, he as much fun as he has out of practice and does the things that he does out there, he does care, and he's learned that through this season. This has been a tough season for him, with the ups and downs, and he's learned that you got to make sure that you keep it focused every week and keep driving. It doesn't matter how the team's doing or whatever the situation is. You stay focused on your job.
Was it an adjustment for you to kind of understand his unique practice style and how he is and be okay with that as a coach who's trying to get everybody prepared? And
yeah, listen, I don't care. He's got green hair. I mean, I don't care if he has green hair. I don't care about all those things. I care that they – I don't care about all that. I just want him to play. And when it's time to practice, you practice the right way. When it's time to play, you play the right way. And there are some unique characters in this business, some unique characters in this room right here. And so I really don't care about all that as long as you get your job done and you keep your nose clean.
And what about Nnamdi? Again, it seems like it's been up and down with him, and he's a totally different type of player than DRC. Has that taken you a while, too, to get used to as far as what works for him and what doesn't? I mean, everyone talked about schematically last year, but this year it seemed like he played a lot more man. It just wasn't happening.
Yeah, listen, he's had an up-and-down season, too, and he'll be the first one to tell you that. And the thing he's done, which I've appreciated, is these last couple of games here, he's battled his tail off. And even though he got beat on a couple last week, he really had an excuse to sit out of the game with the injury. He wanted in that game, he wanted to finish that game, and he was determined to do it. And so, you give the kid credit for that. He played a good game yesterday, one of his better games yesterday. So, they're trying. Both those guys are trying to do better, trying to improve their game as we go here. So you got to give them credit on that.
We've talked about Colt has played well. Nnamdi and DRC have both played well the last two games. Nate Allen has probably played two of his better games the last 2 weeks. So you look at the whole secondary post wide nine. How much of that is a coincidence, and how much is related to just a different scheme and a different front, and the secondary being asked to do less and being able to do their jobs more?
Yeah, well, listen, it takes a bit of pressure off of the safeties in particular, but on all those toss cracks that you were seeing, it takes it off the corner in that particular play. So allows them to do maybe a little bit better things with what they can do physically. So,
what kind of differences have you seen from Michael Kendricks in the two games since going to the weak side?
Well, listen, he had a couple of nice breakups yesterday in nickel coverage, which where he's covering the tight end. I mean, one of them was spectacular. So, but which is the same Sam linebacker position that he would have played before the switch. But at will, he looks more comfortable. That's kind of his natural position. I thought he did a good job there for the most part yesterday in base situations.
Or he'll probably be a will in his career.
I would think that's what he would be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's now eight straight games without an interception. How's that possible? How does that happen?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a tough deal. We were close. We were close yesterday on about three of them. And I come out of the games and I'm saying that over and over. So somewhere we've got to make those points.
Marvin Lewis did what he did at the end of the fourth quarter.
Now, listen, I knew he – I figured he wasn't going to kick the ball. I figured he was going to do something safe. At the same time, not allow us to have an interception nor a fumble there with the run. So once he put the personnel group out there, I kind of knew exactly what he was going to do. And
personnel group out there?
No, I thought it was a safe – yeah.
You got a little ticked off about that.
Yeah, I thought it was a safe play for him. I mean, that's what it – that's the way I looked at it. It was a safe play for him, and I knew our guys kind of knew what they were going to do at that time, that by what they showed us by personnel.
The whole turnover situation, like 72 of them now, I think, are the last 30-plus games. And why is that such a difficult issue to solve?
Well, listen, when it comes to the fumbles, we've got to make sure that we – and that's an obvious one, just keeping the ball high and tight and not trying to make things happen past a point of letting the ball get away from your body. the interceptions. We've cut that back a bit from what it was early, but still one's too many, and so we've got to, you know, we've got to do a better job there, just making decisions, and we'll keep working on that.
Eight sacks the last two games. What's kind of changed on the defensive line since the wide nine was scrapped?
Well, the guys are playing the combination game, so they're playing both the run and the pass. They're doing a good job of transitioning from their gap responsibilities into the for the run into the pass game, which is still being able to hold the ground for the run, and they're still being put in a nine technique in pass situations, but they're being kicked down and a couple different looks in situations where it could be run or pass.
Back to Michael Vick. You said that you're going to have to look at some numbers before making the decision on what to do with him as number two. Can you just explain what's going to go into the thought process of what to do with him?
I'm just literally going to look at how many guys I can have active and not active, and then see how the numbers work out there, and see how he does this week. See how he feels.
Michael Kendrick, you said you think his future is at the will. He's more comfortable there. What went into the decision to put him at strong side then? Was it how much of it was scheme related?
Yeah, I mentioned that last week. Just it was where he plays in nickel and the Sam linebacker position are both the same responsibility. So he wouldn't have to learn two positions as a new player. Well, we felt like he was at the point where we could move him over. He had a pretty good grasp of what he was doing there and move him over after he's known the defense a little bit better.
Are plays designed for Bryce to bounce outside as much as he does, or is that his decision?
Listen, there were a couple that he could have kept inside, but for the most part, they were filtering him out there. But there were two or three that he could have kept inside and should have kept inside. Yeah.
How did
he do? Okay. Yeah, he didn't do a bad job. A nice. He actually played both fullback and tight end, and had a couple of nice blocks. Actually, the block he got called for holding on, he had a good thing going. He just learned a lesson there. The ball carrier cuts back that you got to let go, and he didn't do that. So, but he had a nice block at fullback on 58 and on their middle linebacker, and put him on his back and did some good things there.
Andy Evans was out there hobbling around. He's the only guy you have left from the projected O-line season over. Just kind of talk about what he's meant to that O-line and to the team in general, the way he's battled this year.
Yeah, well, listen, he's a tough kid, and he's worked his he's worked through the ankle situation, and I'm sure he'll continue to do that. And there are going to be some tweaks here and there with it, but he's battled through it and played pretty good. So he's had one of his better years of his career. I know the young guys feed off of that and look up to him.
It just seems like he's so raw sometimes, and he missed so much college football. Can you make that up in a few games, or is he going to be like that for years to come?
Now listen, you see improvements. You see most of it in the pass game, the routes and the protections, and you see some subtle little things in the run game. But he needs to play. I mean, that's why I haven't sat him down, because of the fumbles. I felt like he did miss a lot, exactly what you're saying. He missed a lot of football, and the thing he needs most is to be out there and playing and learning the game. And so he's wired the right way. This isn't a kid that wants to make mistakes or drop the ball or any of that stuff. He's a pretty responsible kid, so he's got to get better with it.
The bulk of the carries once LeSean is ready to return, or
we'll see how all that goes. LeSean's not ready to go, so I would play LeSean when he is ready to go. Yeah, not that I wouldn't play the other kid, but